and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, page 10 of your notes. Colossians 1, 9. Hola. Heard that a million and one times on vacation. So glad to be back. Thanks for all your prayers. I'll say that up front. And we made it, and we survived Mexico, and we survived the United States, and we're back in our niche. So thank you for everything and for all your prayers and all your support. All right, let's prepare ourselves in the usual fashion. The rebound technique works, and it always works. It is backed up by the integrity of God, who cannot go back on his promises and his word in any respect to any degree. God has provided grace for us to recover spiritually from carnality, from spiritual failure. We have 1 John 1, 9, and it is vital and dynamic, and only the STA doubts its existence and its efficacy. It is very clear that God has provided for every believer an opportunity at any time, under any circumstance, to confess and to be restored to fellowship, and enabled at that point forward, if they choose to do so, to produce divine good, glorify God, and at this time perceive and appreciate spiritual information. It is your responsibility to be in fellowship after you make the first step to get here, and it is your responsibility to look at the information as it relates to you and your Christian life, so that when it's all said and done, the outcome for you and me is a very, very positive one. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace that enables us to continue in this capacity. We are fully aware of how corrupt and evil the days are and the society around us. Yet you are greater than all this, and you have provided the grace for us, the resources, the protection, so that we can continue to forge ahead in this age of darkness. Bless our time together in Christ's name. Amen. All right, we dealt with the greeting. Paul's writing to a church based on information that he became privy to. God has worked in his life to provide him with the necessary information with regard to this congregation that he had never personally been with face to face. So they'd never seen Paul. They'd heard about him. They were the beneficiaries indirectly of his ministry, as is brought out here in the introduction. Yet this church in Asia Minor fell into his apostolic jurisdiction. And as an apostle, he writes to them as such and informs them that even though he has not crossed paths with them face to face, he nevertheless is very much concerned about their spiritual status and is thankful for the report. Everything isn't perfect at Colossae. That will be addressed later in the letter. So again, he identifies himself and his co-author, Timothy, in the first verse. He identifies the recipients and he describes them as believers under the synonym saints. A very simple concept for us, that all believers are saints. Equally, you don't work your way to earn it, a la Catholicism's nonsense. It is the grace of God that sets us apart positionally and makes us saints or holy ones through the imputation of plus R and our salvation status. He addresses the saints and faithful, another way of saying positive, adjusted brothers in Christ at Colossae. The greeting, the wish for them is grace to you and peace, a typical salutation, but with a Christian view. Grace to you and peace from God our Father, the head of the plan, God the Father, providing this grace, continual flow of grace that we tap into every day, that we are the beneficiaries of every day, even in our worst set of circumstances. That grace is available, and we also, if we choose to do so, can have peace, inner peace in the turmoil and the strife of our niches, as well as the external aspect, which involves living at peace with each other. Now, he gets into it in verse 3 with a thanksgiving section, which we've already covered. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying constantly for you. Since what has spurred on their prayer and their gratefulness to God, notice how he says, we thank God. He doesn't say, we thank you. We thank God that's brought this all to pass. Wouldn't be at all possible that they'd be in this situation. So we thank God. Since we heard of your faith, that's the positive volition in Christ Jesus. There obviously was a period of time where he didn't know at all what the status was, and heard about, no doubt, this church, but had no idea of, at this point, where they were at. Because they could have folded, they could have, you know, disintegrated, abandoned the doctrine that they had been introduced to. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. In other words, we're thankful that you're positive and you're still positive. And they're still directing faith towards the truth. And, additionally, the product of that faith is application and the love which you have for all the saints. Not just those in their church, but the ones around the world, as Christianity was beginning to establish itself in the various places in the civilized world of the Roman Empire, and that they had love, affection for all the saints, a product of the filling ministry of the Holy Spirit, and a normal part of the Christian life is to have appreciation for and whatever applications, fine. And then we move on, of course, Paul's long sentences, which can get you off a little bit if you're not careful. Because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. This is the first mention in the letter of phase 3 blessing. The whole package. The basic blessings laid up for you in heaven, which includes the promise of a future in heaven, and a future that involves, you know, down the road, hasn't happened yet. And that's the resurrection of believers, the resurrection of the church. And beyond that, the hope package involves eternal reward, which also is a positive motivator in the life of believers. To gain SG3 in the circumstances of our life, of which, hope, you previously heard in the message of truth, the gospel. This was your first intro, your evangelization. That's when that hope, because prior to that, as with all people, prior to that, truly, people can have things that they're wanting and desiring, but they have no hope. Nothing that's built on a rock. Their hope is this life and the things in this life, which to me is, you know, a terrible situation to be in. Of course, people don't have to be. They can believe in Christ, begin to learn the truth, respond to the gospel. The gospel here being, of course, the message of their salvation, which they heard. They first were introduced to that hope. Oh, this is how I get eternal life. This is how I get a pass to go to heaven. This is how I escape eternal condemnation. And then whatever other information comes with that. Which has come to you. What's the antecedent to that? The gospel. Which has come to you. The greatest thing that happened in the history of you people in this church is when the gospel came to town. That's the greatest thing. Because you were locked into the darkness of the pagan world, and the gospel made its inroad into the town or the city of Colossae, which has come to you just as in all the world. The expansion and the evangelization of the gospel making inroads in all the world. Now, obviously, every corner of the earth was not covered with the gospel hearing at this time. This is early on. But this is a process. A process that has gone on for, you know, 1980 some years from the onset of the church age. The gospel has been, as we know, the history of evangelization of the nations, which is the mandate for the church for this dispensation, to go into all the world as God leads and directs. And he leads and directs according to the positive volition that is out there. All those that are going to come to faith through the course of this age. So this has, just as in all the world, the gospel is still being proclaimed in a variety of places around our earth. Here and there, everywhere, there is these inroads. There is hostility to it, obviously, but wherever there's positive volition, whether it's just one person isolated somewhere in a village, God will get the truth to them, get the gospel to them by the various means he has. Now they can stumble on it on the internet if they have access. I can find out how to be saved. The information is out there. Even though times have changed and various things, the gospel is still being proclaimed. And it will continue to be proclaimed to the nations all the way to the rapture. And then when there's no believers left on earth, God will take up the slack and use an angel to evangelize every single individual on the planet without exception, regardless of language or isolation. This is in Revelation. And so forth and so on. And off of that will come believers, and there you go. The ball's rolling then. So the message of the gospel has come. The greatest thing that happened to you and I was the circumstances that brought you and I to saving faith. Maybe it was just real natural. You're raised in a Christian home and evangelized at an early age. Maybe not. Maybe, you know, And I've heard just a few of many, many stories of individuals who, even in the midst of the trauma of their life, were brought to a place where they were saved. Even bad things happening to people, like dragging slaves over here on boats, ships, in these hell holes, abducting people, and dragging them across the ocean in the slave trade. God relocating people. I'm not justifying any of that. I'm just saying God uses even the bad things people do. So that the gospel penetrates all these walls, all these barriers, All these regimes that are anti-God, anti-gospel, anti-truth. God is able and easily to penetrate that with individuals, broadcasts, whatever. Just as in all the world. Of course, this is the early time. Christianity has made its inroads as far as at least the capital city, the big bad city of Rome. And there are Romans that were positive. Hence the book to the letter to the Romans, the epistle. And God used Paul as well as the other apostles. You can study each of the apostles, read up on them in a dictionary. And here, we don't know much about, but here's where they say so-and-so went of the 12 and the different places they went. East, west, north, south, wherever. God led them as individuals. It's constantly bearing fruit. The gospel comes and it is received. It is accepted by faith, by people. That's the bearing fruit. The gospel is like this tree that's constantly, or this plant, that is constantly bearing fruit. People are constantly being saved out of the population, out of the general population of the human race. In all periods of history, people are coming to saving faith through time. You and I are one of them, thank God. It came to us, and we believed. And increasing. That means new converts. Basically, that's exactly what that means. New converts that have been introduced to this hope. Even as it has been doing in you. He piles these things up. He says the gospel is bearing fruit and increasing. Even as it has been doing in you. Meaning that from the initial evangelization of the Colossians to this date, new people have come on board out of the Colossian environment. That's what he means. There's new people that have stepped away from the pagan culture and became born-again believers. That's what he means here. Even as it has been doing in you since the day you heard of it. That's the initial evangelization of a population of all unbelievers that came there and understood the grace of God in truth. They understood that this is a gospel of grace. Salvation is by grace. There is no other thing required than to receive this grace by faith in Christ. It's a grace package. It's a gift offered to everybody. You have to receive it by believing in Jesus Christ. The greatest decision that you and I ever made in our life, because of its ramifications. So it's the grace of God in the sphere of truth. It is a part of the truth, the gospel part, the first thing. Now, we get down to it, just as you learned it from Epaphras. Here was a man who became a believer, presumably, as a result of Paul's campaign in Ephesus, where he spent 3 years in the major city on the coast of Ephesus. And it spread out from there. You see this in the early New Testament. You see the gospel beginning to make inroads in various islands and various places around. And different. You see that process going on. God's involved in it with individuals. It was the reluctance of the early Christians who were Jewish to take this beyond Jerusalem. But a persecution and some Jews that were not so encumbered with the Jewish mentality, the wrong part of the Jewish mentality that looks askance upon the world of the Gentiles. They're humans too. And they too can believe. And you see it, if you've read Acts, you see how this certain individuals just stepped on out. They broke from the mold. And it took the apostles a while to fully appreciate this. The Antioch church, that was just this big outpouring of positive volition at the early going among Gentiles, and the results of that. So, just as you learned from Ephesus. And he wants them to know that Paul holds this man in high esteem. Our beloved, dear, fellow bondservant, who is a faithful servant of Christ on our behalf. See, this brings in the chain of command. He's not a loose cannon out here running around. He understood the apostolic age. He understood that, you know, you've got to relate yourself as a communicator to the apostles while they were alive. And it logically, Paul was the logical one because that's in his in that area there. So Paul gives him the thumbs up. This is a faithful servant of Christ on our behalf. He is one of our servants within the organization of apostle. He's not some, you know, freelancing out here. He's connected to a system of authority and respect for that age and the apostolic system. He believed in this. He believed in and espoused the same doctrine Paul did. And he has also informed us of your love in the sphere of the Spirit. As noted last time, this is the only reference, direct reference, I believe, in Colossians to the Holy Spirit. Odd, but anyway. And we go back to this, your love. This is something concrete. Love for God as manifested also in love for other people. Their love for Paul. Their love for their ultimate spiritual leader on earth as well as. So he has informed us. He's given us details. So we're fully informed of this. So this sets the whole stage for this letter. Now, Paul, who has already mentioned that he is extremely thankful for their positive volition, moves on to informing them of what he's praying for them about. I mean, if you're praying for someone, what am I praying for you? What is the deal? And of course, you're praying for a group of people rather than just some need of some individual. This is the corporate prayer. This is the prayer, the kind of prayer that would come from Paul with regard to churches under his jurisdiction. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it. For this reason, again, we know that Paul is under house arrest under his first Roman imprisonment in around 62 AD. And yet he is still able under God to function. He just can't go anywhere right now. That was hanging in the balance. But he still is able to function. They can't shut him down. God gives him this ability to continue to minister. Yes, through individuals who carry letters and things of this nature. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it. Since the day we heard of what? The Colossian status quo. Since the day, there came a day when this information was brought way across the way to Paul in Rome. Since the day we heard of it, that's their faith in Christ, we have not ceased to pray for you. We have not ceased to pray. Stop praying with a negative here, pao, to stop something. With a negative, negating this. To pray. On your behalf, on behalf of you, Hooper, on behalf of you, praying, it sounds like it's an infinitive. Praying is actually a participle. We have not ceased praying for you, literally. It's all right. And to ask, this is intercessory prayer, and asking, again another participle, I tell, that you be filled. The important part of this is that they are the objects of it, hence the passive, aorist passive, subjunctive. The subjunctive is the mood of potentiality. It depends on them whether they're filled or not. But we're praying that you may be filled, recognizing what? Human volition. The corporate volition of this church. That you may be filled. The most important thing that you could pray for believers in the condition and the state that they were in, that you are filled with the knowledge of His will. Accusative feminine singular, knowledge is the epinosis, full knowledge, of His will. The pronoun with the word for will, with the definite article philema. With the knowledge of His will in the sphere of, preposition in, all spiritual, in all wisdom. Spiritual is at the end of this part here, pneumatikos, an adjective. In the sphere of spiritual, and we'll take it as going with both of these nouns, because it's spiritual wisdom versus other kinds of wisdom. It is of a spiritual nature. It derives from God. It's spiritual information versus, wisdom that is of the world or wisdom that is useful but not, of a spiritual wisdom. Sophia, wisdom, and suniesis, insight or understanding. Now, what's the purpose of this being filled, this process of taking in Bible doctrine over time? It should bear some fruit so that you may walk. This is a metaphor. It's not literal, how you physically walk. It has to do with your actions as a believer. Peripateo. The verb walk means to walk, or to, with the peripateo, it's like walk around. And that you walk, aorist infinitive, peripateo, that you walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Worthy is an adverb, axios, suitable, worthy, definite article, of the Lord. Prepositionized, to please. We have a noun that's only found here, areskeia. Means it has the desire to please, only here in the New Testament. To please Him in all respects. Bearing fruit, I think I left out in all here. No, I didn't. I left out pos, I'm sorry. Pos is in there too. Plus the adjective pos, all. Sorry about that. Bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. See, we come right back. You're pleasing God, but we don't stop there. Bearing fruit is divine good production. This is how you please God. Producing divine good. How do you please God? How do you please Him in all respect? You produce divine good. Let's take that phrase first. Bearing fruit in every good work. Fruit bearing. In all work, ergon, good, agathos. Bearing, karpophoreo, means to bear fruit, be productive. Bearing fruit, there's the noun, karpos, which is fruit. This is to bear fruit, of course. Bearing fruit, think of a fruit-bearing plant of any kind. What's the purpose of his existence? To look green and pretty and have some flowers on it? No, ultimately to produce its fruit in abundance and quality fruit. That's the purpose of an apple tree or any other fruit tree or plant that is fruit bearing, where you have something from it that is edible and useful. Bearing fruit in every good work. And then we come back to the same thing. It's a cycle. Intake, application. Intake, application. Increasing in the knowledge of God. So you can see here that it isn't just some one-shot thing where you learn this and you do some little catechism and you've arrived. some little session and some little Bible survey or all this other superficial stuff, which is useful information there, but it isn't what it's about. It's learning things and increasing. Here, sugano means to grow or increase in the epinosis, same verb, the epinosis of God. Epinosis was a verb that was used for full knowledge, complete knowledge, special knowledge. Here it's the epinosis of God, of the God with a definite article. It doesn't end here. Strengthened with all power. In order to maintain our Christian momentum and life, we have to be internally strengthened in all pos, dunamis, power or strength, according to dunamao, the present active participle, strengthened with all power, that comes later, two times here in Hebrews 11:34 for the verb strengthen, according to, okay, kata, might, kratos, the different words for power, strength, and so forth in the New Testament, definite article, kratos, according to his might, or literally, according to the power or might of his glory, his essence. Definite article, doxa. Strengthened. So we're constantly being strengthened, built up, and given this dynamic, attaining all, because see, it's a long race. It's a long haul thing. It's for the duration of your phase too. For the attaining of all steadfastness and pace and patience, joyously. For the attaining of all steadfastness. All right? Steadfastness is preposition eis with the adjective, accusative feminine singular pos, all, we have to add all here, all steadfastness. Hupomone, that's a patience verb, noun. That's a patience noun. It's a compound. Hupomone, meno is the verb to abide. Hupo is the preposition under. So it's to stay under something, to bear up under the constant variety of things that are thrown at us in this lifetime. And patience. The other patience word, prominent in the New Testament, makrothumia. Basically, we have patience with regard to circumstances. And we have patience with regard to people. With joy. Joyously is the preposition meta with the noun, the simple noun kara for joy, happiness. With joy. Considering it a privilege to serve and glorify God, even under adverse and difficult circumstances, that you can have this joy. Giving thanks to the Father, always in this process. Giving thanks to the Father. See, this is therapeutic. You're giving thanks. Eucharisteo. Give thanks, again, to the Father, definite article, pater, who has qualified us. The word here, that qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. All right. The Father of us, in order to share. Meros means to share, have a part of something. Meros. And then we have the noun, definite article with the noun kleros, which is the word for lot, casting lots. This is your lot. This is your, and it's translated here as and substitute as an synonym for inheritance. It's the word lot that falls to you. They cast lots in the Bible, and they determined various things. It was a system that was used. It was a bona fide system. saints. There's your word saint again, definite article, saints, in, and has a definite article, and the simple word phos, light. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. Whatever that means. One. A long sentence begins in verse 9, understatement. All right. I don't know if you can find a longer one, but it's a long one. It is structured properly. It's not. It's just a long sentence. Thank you very much, Paul. You have put it down in another way, but he puts it in this long, drawn-out sentence that extends through verse 12 from verse 9 before you can put down, a period and take a breath. The sentence begins with, for this reason, diatuto, which is connected to the previous section. It connects, it's a connector to the previous section. So if you diagram it, you'd have to do it that way. I'm sure you're going to go do that this afternoon. For this reason, points back to the report of Epaphras. We got some live wires here at Colossae. We can't drop the ball on these people. They're out there, somewhat isolated. Consider the times when they didn't have telephone and it didn't have quick transportation and all the rest. So it's a different world. You had a different feel. Maybe people back in American history who lived in rural or even in urban environments, and they didn't have this easy connection with people like we do today, the good and bad of it. Points back to the report of Ephesus concerning the situation at Colossae, verses 4 through 8. For also makes the transition back to Paul and Timothy. Since the day we heard of it, refers to the report made to Paul and his number one lieutenant, arguably, Timothy, on his staff. Look at it like that. He's on his staff. It is, again, these guys weren't just running out here doing something. I think I'm going to go here and do this. No, they were under Paul's direction. If they were going to troubleshoot, do anything, they were there. I haven't figured out if Timothy was a part of this incarceration or not. I don't know. Since the day we heard of it, or if he's just hanging out with Paul, Paul's the obvious target of the imprisonment, but Timothy hangs in there with him. He's my apostle. In or out of incarceration, he's my apostle. And I'm not dumping him. Getting away from him. No. Timothy wasn't made like that. Since the day, recalls verse 6d, since the day you heard, in reference to the evangelization of these believers. 7. See, this is a really big deal. When people come out of the darkness of the cosmos and they step into the light of the gospel and they believe, it is a huge transition for people who previously had thought this and that about the afterlife or whatever their philosophy, idea, religion, or belief system was. It's a huge step. It's, you know, that in the midst of one's life, one can always go back to that and say, that's the most important day of my life. Not my marriage, not being born, because I had to be born in order to get to the gospel, but it's not that. It's not the future blessing of being resurrected. It's the day I believed in Jesus Christ, because that starts the whole thing in motion and puts me in this safe zone where I have the opportunity to go forward. If I don't do anything but past that moment, I've got eternal life. I've got the promise of a part of the inheritance of the saints in light. So always as believers, when you're down, you're feeling bad because you've let your circumstances drag you down, there's a way to perk up and there's a tonic for this. And it isn't in a bottle. That won't help very much. It's not in substances. It's in reflecting upon what you have as a believer, because it's so easy to allow yourself to be buried by all the bad stuff that might be going on at a particular time in your life. Look at who you are, what you have in Christ. The least of you here, the most screwed up of you here, and I'm not pointing any fingers. Could be me. I don't know. Just kidding. But, you know, it doesn't matter. Go back to that. That's something you stand on. I am a child of God. God loves me. God has a plan for me. Some things came down. They didn't go good. Maybe I was participating in it at a certain level and am to blame for it. Okay, fine. Does that disqualify you? No. Rebound. Get in fellowship. Address who and what you are. You get up tomorrow and the same test is in front of you. Who am I? I'm a child of God. I'm a believer. I got a glorious inheritance ahead of me. Now, let me increase that this day. I got outlets for everything. God has made promises all through His Word. I'm going to use those promises. This is what I need, Father. I've cast my cares on You. You take care of that for me. Whatever the situation, whether it's just another normal day where you expect everything to go just like it did the last week and the last days, or something gets thrown at you. We all have to deal with this. And we're now, I believe truly, we are at the very dead end of our lives on this earth because of the impending rapture. We're going to be out of here. So by coming here and hearing this, you are spurred on. You are encouraged to continue in this fight, in this struggle. And believe me, it's a struggle at times. It isn't just a cakewalk. It's a struggle. I didn't give myself an STA. I got one of those by default. It's my own personal lovely one. I got by default. I can't help it. And I got my own battles to wage. It doesn't want to go on vacation. It doesn't want to disappear. It doesn't even want to tone itself down. So God's given me the tools, given you the tools to fight it. When it gets the better of you, you got rebound. You may get right back out of fellowship again, but you rebound again. You keep fighting. You keep in a struggle. Imagine being in a war zone. You've been trained, hopefully, unlike a lot of believers. You've been trained how to deal with this. And every day isn't, you know, just the worst. It's just the way it is, and you have to deal with it. Yeah, I'm so anxious to get out of here, you can't believe it. And I don't have a bad life as far as the physical externalities of things. I got a lot better, obviously, than I deserve. But that's true of all of us, I suppose. But I'm anxious to get on with this and get out of this hellhole called the cosmos that gets crazier by every minute. I almost sit back like, you know, it's like surreal. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? When you observe this and what's going on, say, just in this country, it's just, you can't make this up. If you know what's going on, if you have any truly idea what's going on, unless you're just so blanked out, it's not funny. You know, you're just stupid as hell and just into pseudo-patriotism, then you're doomed. When you see through it, it's like seeing through things spiritually, getting in the right church, getting in the right environment, and you begin to see through things. And it's so, so clear today. As they always say to me, well, what do you think it's going to be like in the next 5 years? I'll try not to concentrate on that. I'm just worried about Sunday, which is right now. And then we got to go to Monday. And if I can do that, because the Lord told me to just concern yourself with one day at a time. And it's hard to do. Humans aren't like that. They want to look down to what's going to happen here and what's going to happen after the election and what's going to happen and all the kind of stuff. Keep in mind, God is running the show, not men. I know it doesn't appear that way, but God is running the show. What He permits, and God knows He permits a lot of evil, and what He frustrates. We wouldn't even be here today without this. God providing this protection from the dark side and all that's around us. Keep praying in that regard for this church and for us Because for 43 years, God's kept the wolves away from the door, except a few that popped up in here. They were that would be my worst test, people test. It's basically anti-grace, I'm going negative, carrying on types that went out of here in different ways and at different times. That's been worse than my health test. That was just a health test. I was either going to live or I was going to die. I was going to be well or wasn't. That was one thing. But this is those were the worst. That's my personal testimony. Paul got a lot of flack from unbelievers, and we're not out of here yet. You're just like someone in power in this country who wasn't, anti-Christian, even in the most superficial level. And the forces of darkness do not like our doctrine. Even stuff that unbelievers can and do figure out right and wrong. And you know what I mean. Okay. 7. In addition to giving thanks for the positive volition of the Colossians, Paul, along with Timothy, had been engaged in intercessory prayer for the church at Colossae. They got this wonderful report. Same thing of the Ephesians church. The letters all written around the same time. Ephesians, Colossians, and Philippians. These are the, prison epistles, because that's where he was. Oh, you're a prisoner. So what? Jesus was taken into custody and drugged through all this. If I got that even right. 115. For this reason, too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints. There it is, identical. Just different wording, a little bit different wording. Same thing. That's what it's about. That you are still hooked up with the truth. You didn't let something throw you overboard. Or if it did, you came back and stayed. And the love. See, that's a very vital ingredient. If you have the wrong attitude towards believers, that's a constant test. You've got to keep the right attitude. Yeah, people at times rub you the wrong way. I probably am one of them. I'm probably one of them at times. I know I am. But, you've graced me out. And I got to grace you out. And I can't go remembering yesterday. Then you got me all upset with how you were acting up. No, I can't. That's a killer. It drives you right into the deal. You couldn't stay married. Or if you did, you got this thing going on, and everything else around you isn't in good shape. You can believe everything, but you got. If I have all these things, Paul says. He uses that in Corinthians 13. And I don't have love. I'm nothing. I'm like a musical instrument that is out of tune. And it's harsh on the ear. You need to tune that. Like a clanging cymbal or something that has this obnoxious sound to it. Something for you in your prayers to pray about and to keep praying about is how you relate to and treat believers in Maranatha Church, as well as outside. But believers in the church, let's just start there. This is our local family. Is there someone in here you are not open and friendly with? And ask yourself why. Why? Analyze it. Analyze it and then figure out why you need to step away from that. Why do you give that person the cold shoulder that you will hardly acknowledge them or just briefly or faintly? What's the problem? They're a believer in Jesus Christ. They're in the same place you're in. You can be kind. You can be, how you doing? And be genuine about it. It's a start. It's a place to start. Praying about your attitude towards other believers. Because I want you, if you're here, I want you, unless you're just involved in sin and you're just acting crazy out there and not any semblance of what you're learning here. And even then, I'm for you. I'm for you figuring this out. What you did yesterday, you did yesterday. Right? You did it yesterday. Yesterday's done and gone. Forget that. Let's move forward. I'm for all who are legitimately under the hearing of this teaching, for what it's worth. I want the best for you. And I know you're going to go through things. So am I. So that you can really grow up spiritually and shed some of this stuff that's not appropriate. You may not even recognize it, or you may recognize it. It's a process. It's a transformation. And sometimes, yes, it's very painful. Now, you can run and leave the church and go hide and bury yourself in materialism and whatever else. Yeah. A resort we went to, there are people go down there and stay for weeks. I was told about a guy that goes down there, just likes to get away from everybody and hide. He goes all by himself. What's that? You go to a nice restaurant day in and day out. Get people, give you a massage, see the water, see the beach, get a day in and day out. It gets old. Honestly, it gets old. You know, it's like, find your favorite dessert. Eat it every day. Eat it for breakfast. Eat it for supper. It gets old real quick. Plus, you'll get sick. But see, that there's a place for everything. And I recognize it. God teaches us these things. Oh, I'd just be real happy if I had that. Would you? You could be happy now. You can rejoice in the Lord now. It says rejoice in the Lord. Always. Constantly. It's, yes, we're humans. It's easy to get under this cloud and woe is me and all this and everything and what are people thinking. I mean, I don't know what all going on in your head. I could see on some people's face they're not happy. Now, I know I can't judge, right? They may just be having a physical problem or something. But some people look real extremely stressed. Well, I want to teach doctrine. I want you to receive it in such a way that you can shed that. That's all I'm trying to do. I'm trying to keep my own head above the water too. More than keep my head above the water, obviously. But that's why it's good. I could not isolate myself in paradise, whatever paradise is. Paradise can be turned into a living hell in no time. Because it's an earthly paradise, and therefore they're not impregnable to weather and revolutions and all kinds of stuff. See? So, the paradise, I realize that I won't be talking and having any negative. I'm tired, I'm bored, I'm in heaven, I'm tired. I'm in my resurrection body, I'm just, this is boring. Can we do something else? No, it's not going to be that way. But again, I am totally inept at describing it, but I don't know anyone that is. So, in addition to giving thanks for the positive volition of the Colossians, Paul, along with Timothy, have been engaged in intercessory prayer for the church at Colossae. We will pick this up after our break.